Today's shiur is Masechta Sukkah, Daf Lamed Vav. We will begin on Daf Lamed Hei Amud Beis, 15 lines from the bottom. We learned in the Mishnah that also Chazazas, if on the Esrik there was formed a boil, the halach is that Esrik is kosher, posel. Says the Gemara of Chizda, Davazer Rabbeinu HaGadol Amrei, the following halacha was taught to us by Rabbeinu HaGadol. Rabbeinu HaGadol is Rav. Hamakim Yeba Azroi, and immediately comments that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should bench him, bless him. And from here we see that every time we mention a tzaddik's name, we have to speak about the praise of that tzaddik, and also we have to give him a bracha. And that's why in our Gemara, as soon as Rav Chizda mentioned his Rebbe Rav's name, he immediately called him Rabbeinu HaGadol, and he also gave him a bracha of a mokam yeh ba'azrei. And that's why we find that when we speak about a Rav, a Talmud Chacham, we always precede by calling him Harav, and we also conclude after we say his name, we say, if he's alive, Baruch Hashem Shlita, if he's unfortunately not longer alive, we say Zatzal. And all of this is based on our Gemara, that we find that when they mentioned Rav's name, he was right away, they mentioned all of this. So says the Gemara, this that we learned in the Mishnah, that if there's a chazosis, if there's a boil under the esrig, it's posel, it's only b'makom echad. If that boil is only found in one place on the esrig, if it's found in two or three different spots on the esrig, then the halacha is that the esrig is kosher. Ask the Gemara, Amalei Rabba, Amalei Rava. So Rava says, Ad Rabba, the argument should be made just the opposite. If the boil is in a number of places around the esrig, so now we have a problem that it's menumer, that it looks like a spotted esrig, and it's posel. So if anything, ask the Gemara, it should just be just the opposite. And if it's found in a number of spots, it should be certainly posel. And therefore, says the Gemara, Eliyitma Asef Itma. What we're learning the comment of Rav, it's going on the second part of the Mishnah, that we learned in the Mishnah, Almi Utai. If the boils are found on just a smaller part of the esrig, the esrig is kosher. On that comments Rav Chizda, Davazai Rabbeinu Gadol Omroi, V'amokim Yir Ba'azroi, Loishanu, the issue that if there's a boil on a smaller part of the esrig, that it's kosher, is only B'mokim Echad. If the boil is on one spot, Abashnaim Shloish Mekomis, if it's in a number of spots on the esrig, Havalei Kemenumer, that's considered a spotted esrig, and once it's considered a spotted esrig, the halacha is that it's going to be posel. Amar Rava, al chaytmai, and now Rava makes another comment, that if the boil is found on the chaytmai of the esrig, and there's a big machlokes rishonim, what is the definition of the chaytmai? Rashi's explanation of the chaytmai is the place, the exact spot on the esrig where the esrig starts at the top of the esrig, starts angling towards the top. That's Rashi's pshat. The Ritva's pshat is that the chaytmai is from the place where it starts slanting towards the top, and that entire area. And the Rambam's pshat, that chaytmai is actually the pitim. So there, says the Gemara, when the spot is found on the chaytmai, afilu b'mashu, even if it's the smallest spot, posel. Such an esrog will be a posel. And the reason is, because something that's on the spot, Rashi says, is where it's most noticeable. And since it's most noticeable, we need that the esrog has to be a hadar. And any disqualification on that spot takes away from it being a hadar. However, the Ritvaz says that even though we're learning now, and this is indeed the halacha, that a spot that's found on the chaytmai, and we paskin that the chaytmai is an entire slanty area plus the pitim. We have to be much stricter. And in fact, the Ravid says, the Ravid and the Rambam say, it's not only regarding the chazazos that we're speaking about in our Gemara, that we have to be stricter on the chaytmai, but any of the disqualifications that we are speaking about when we speak about an esrig are much more serious when they're on the chaytim of the esrig. The halacha is only, says the Ratfaz, if it's visible to the naked eye. But if it requires much concentration, or you have to bring some sort of a magnification to be able to see it, and you can't see it without that, then the halacha is that that's not considered near l'ainayim. And the explanation is very understandable, because we've been learning that what is the concern? The concern is that when it's on the chaytmai, that what's in the chaytmai, it's much more noticeable. But it indeed has to be noticeable. If it's not noticeable, then it wouldn't be a problem. We learned further in the Mishnah, nitma pitmasai, if the pitim of the esrog was removed, the halacha is that the esrog is possible. Tan Rav Yitzchak ben Elazar, what is the definition of nitla pitmasai? Nitla pitmasai. So Rashi explains that the definition of, this is the second pshat that Rashi offers in the name of his rabbis, that the pitma is the part that's on top of the esrog, and the part of the top of the esrog, not just the stick, the part that sticks out, but even the part that's on top of it, which is called the shoshanta, if that is missing, the halacha is that it's possible. There is another pshat that Rashi offers, and that the pitim is the ukitz, the part that's on the bottom of the esrog. But again, most Rishonim are of the opinion that the pitim is what makes pitim is the issue. But if the bottom of the esrog, the piece of wood that sticks out on the bottom of the esrog is missing, that wouldn't be a disqualification on the esrog. So here we're learning that the pitim is a critical area on the esrog. And the Achroinim discuss that what's going to be the halacha if an esrog is brought to us, and many esrogim don't have a pitim altogether. What will be the status of such an esrog? So the Ramah already says that such an esrog is kosher, and the Ramah says in Siman Tov Reish Mem Ches, Siv Zayin, the Vekain Reim Roiva Esrogim Habor Memdinas Elu. Most esrogim that are found where we live don't have a pitim. And it's based on a rosh that says if you have an esrog that never had a pitim, it doesn't become disqualified. And the Kapis Tamarim brings a raya to this psak because he says, look at the word of the wording of the Mishnah that we just were analyzing. The wording of the Mishnah is nitla pitmasoi. What does that mean? Says the Kapis Tamarim, that it had a pitim and it was removed. But if it never had a pitim in the first place, that wouldn't be a problem. But the Kapis Tamarim says that it could be that even though he's taking such a lenient approach in explaining that if an esrog is missing a pitim, it doesn't necessarily become disqualified. He says that's if all the esrogim that grow don't have a pitim. But what's going to be the halacha, he says, if you have an esrog that the tree, some esrogim in that tree have a pitim, and some esrogim grow on the tree without a pitim. So he says, then it's not so simple to say that that esrog would not be, that esrog would be considered a kosher esrog. Shiniklaf, we learned further in the Mishnah that if the esrog is peeled, it's possible. Amrav, a high esrog, the iglet kahina sumka, an esrog that's peeled, and now it looks like a red date, Shera, such an esrog is kosher. Of course, explained the Rishonim, that when we say that it was peeled, as we discussed in our previous year, the esrog, the typical esrog fruit, has a number of layers. And what we're speaking here is that just the outside layer was removed. Anything else is not a problem. And I saw further that Rashi and the Rishonim explain that typically when that layer is removed, it turns red. And even though it's red, and the esrog is not usually I read the Chai Adam Klal Kuf Nun Aleph Sif Yud Aleph says that red is still a kosher color of Esrig. The Prima Gadim says only if it's not a deep red, but if it's a deep red, it would be a problem. Says the Gemara, ha, this halacha that Rav said, that if the outside layer of the Esrig was peeled and it turned red, the Esrig is still kosher, it's only Bekula, when the entire Esrig was peeled. And now we have the entire Esrig only having this one color. But if B'miktsasai, if only part of the Esrig is peeled, so now we're going to have a situation that we discussed at the beginning of the shir, and that's a situation of menumer, where you have different colors on your Esrig, and an Esrig which is spotted, which has different colors, the halacha is that it's possible. Says the Gemara, so according to this explanation, that if it's entirely peeled, it's fine. If it's partially peeled, it's an issue. There are Rishonim that suggest that just the opposite. If it's entirely peeled, it's certainly going to be possible, because that's not the way an Esrig is supposed to look. Only if it's partially peeled, so now we have to look. If it's partially peeled and it looks like it's spotted, then it won't be a kosher Esrig. But if it's partially peeled but it doesn't look spotted, then it would be kosher. So Nizdak, we learned an Esrig that was split, or Nikav, or an Esrig that has a hole and it's missing part of the Esrig, then the halacha is that it's kosher. Tana Ula Bachina, Nikav Nekam Fulish, but if it has a hole that goes all the way through the Esrig, B'mashu, even if it's a small hole, since the hole goes through all the way, the halacha is it's possible. V'm Enam Fulish, but if the hole does not go through all the way, so then it only will become possible if it's missing. And how much space of the Esrig has to be missing that it should be considered chaser? It has to be missing the size of a ki'isr. Ki'isr is one of the types of coins that they used to have. If it has that much of the Esrig missing, that's considered a chaser and it's possible. But now we learned that a new halacha, we described this when we learned the Mishnah as well, that if the hole is mefulish, if it goes through all the way, then the Esrig is possible. And the Rishonim debate, what is the definition of mefulish? The Baal Hilchos Gedolos explains that it has to go through from one end of the Esrig to the other end of the Esrig. But if the hole just goes from one end of the Esrig to the chamber inside the Esrig where the seeds of the Esrig are found, that would not disqualify the Esrig. The Re disagrees. And the Re says that if the hole reaches the Chadre Hazera, the place where the seeds of the Esrig are found, even though the hole did not go through all the way, the Esrig will be possible. Ask the Gemara, by Rava, Nolda be'esrig simone treifa. We know that the Gemara Masech the Chulin discusses at great length what makes an animal to be considered a treifa, that it's not going to survive, and therefore may not be eaten. So the Gemara asks, if the Esrig forms simone treifa, what will be the halacha? So the Pnei Yeshua asked the obvious question. Our Gemara, we're discussing Hilchos Esrogim, Hilchos Talaminim. What does Hilchos Treifa have to do with Hilchos Esrogim that the Gemara is sort of trying to connect them? So he says that we're going to be speaking about an Esrig that the insides are missing. When we check an animal, one of the first things we do to check on the kashrus of an animal is we check the lungs of the animal. Because if they're completely dissolved, that animal is not going to be choizel b'riusoi. It won't be healthy again, and it's a treifa. Same thing if the Esrig looks whole from the outside. What is doing inside to prove that this Esrig really is not a good Esrig? And that's why we use the animal, which from the outside may look perfectly fine, but from the inside has serious defects, which makes the animal a treifa. We want to know what will they be the halacha by an Esrig. Ask them exactly what is the case that we are referring to. My kami boile, exactly what is the case that we are referring to. In Niklaf, if we're talking about a case where the skin of the Esrig was peeled off, Tanina, We learned in the Mishnah that if it's niklaf, the esrig is posel. E nizdak, if we're speaking about an esrig that was split, we just discussed that at the well, tanina, that the Mishnah says it's posel. E nikaf, and if the esrig has a hole, which are all different types of situations that we could have comparable situations by a trema, by an animal. We could have a situation where the windpipe of an animal is split, that the Gemara teaches us that the animal is considered a trefa. We could have a situation where the membrane around the brain is punctured, that the halacha is that the animal is trefa. But all of those halachas have also been stated quite explicitly in our Mishnah, that the halacha is that such an esrog is posel. If the Gemara, if Rava was trying to discuss a situation that an esrog would be considered trefa, so the Gemara wants to know what exactly is the case that he's referring to that we don't know explicitly from our Mishnah. Answers the Gemara, Kikam Ebaile, the question that he was posing was Kura Ula, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, a situation that Ula Amar Rabbi Yochanan spoke about. Because, as we mentioned, if you have the lung of an animal, Reya, Shanishpecha Kikitan, that it's completely dissolved, Shera. Vama Rava, Rava says, when is that the case, that the animal can still be considered kosher, even though the lung is dissolved? For who the Kaimus and Pina? Then, as long as the pipes, the tubes that are connecting the windpipe to the lung are still intact. Haloi kaimus simpona. But if that is no longer intact, the animal is going to be considered a trefa. And now the Gemara asks, Hachamai. Rava's question was, what will be the halacha by an esrog? Dilma hasam hudalai shor by avira. Maybe over there once, even though the lung is dissolved, as long as you have those tubes intact, the lung could be repaired because it's concealed within the body of the animal. Ava hocha, when we speak in esrig, the shalat by avira, which is exposed, so if it is so weak inside, seruchim esrachas, it certainly will spoil and therefore not be a good esrig. Oidoma, if by halachas of trefa, this animal would not be considered a trefa, so too will be the halacha by an esrog. Says the Gemara, Toshma, the Brisa teaches us, esrog tefuach, if your esrog that swelled up, a seruach that spoiled, kovish, if it was soaked in something sharp, sholok, it was cooked for a long time, it was boiled for a long time, kushi, that esrog has a black loven where it's white, menumer where it's spotted, in all these cases, posel. The esrog is posel. So here we just learned that an esrog, which is kovush, which is left soaking, and Rashi says, b'chaymetz or b'chardel, in vinegar or mustard. So it seems from Rashi that if it was just soaked in water, it would not have the halacha of kovush. The Magen Avraham, however, says that that's not true. If you have an esrog that was soaked in water, then for 24 hours, it will be considered what our Gemara just discussed as an esrog hakovish. What Rashi means to say is that in water, for it to be considered kovish, it has to be there for 24 hours. But if it's in something sharp, like chaymetz or chardel, even in a shorter amount of time, the halacha is that it becomes kovish. And therefore, says the Chasam Sofer, that many times people leave their lulavim and their hadassim or their rovis to soak in water to keep them fresh. So says the Chasam Sofer, if somebody on Erev Shabbos during Sukkot put his lulav in water and he's not going to take it out of the water until Motzei Shabbos, until Sunday morning, it's going to be a concern of kavush, and therefore one should not soak on this. His son, however, the Ksav Sofer, asks on his father. He says that it's a very interesting psak that his father is offering. He says usually the issue of kavish is only related to food. So that's why in our Gemara, where we're speaking about an esrig, which is a fruit, there we need to be concerned about kavish. But the lulav, the adasim, the aravis, which are not type of food, the halacha is that there is no problem of kavish. The interesting thing is that the Sefer Emek Brocha, quoting the Ramban, says that the Ramban says explicitly that any of the Dalaminim, not just the Esrig, but the Lulav, Hadassim, and Aravis, all the same, if they're left to be kovish, if they're left to be soaked in water, the halach is that such an Esrig, that the Dalaminim would be possible, and it's not limited strictly to an Esrig. V'yesh Omrim, af tiyoim, if you have two Esrogim that grew together. And there's a machlokes in Rishonim. First of all, the reason why if it's two esrogim is a problem. One is because the Torah says pre-eitz hadar a loshin yochid, and therefore, if you're taking an esrog which is connected to esrogim, that's two esrogim, and therefore it's possible. We not, however, there are those that hold that it's kosher. So the Shulchan Aruch Rav explains that since they're connected, even though they look like two esrogim, they're really one esrog. And since they're really one esrog, you're yoytzim. Esrog haboyser, if you have an esrog that isn't ripened yet, Rav Kiva poysel. Rav Kiva says that such an esrog is poysel because it's not considered a fruit. V'chamim machshirim, the chum hold that even when it's at such a small size, it's still kosher because it's already considered a pre. Godly betfus, if you put your esrog into a mold that you want to have a certain shape, so you put it into a mold, v'sol kamin beria cheres, but you put it into a mold where the esrog doesn't end up looking like an esrog, the loch is possible. But what's relevant to our shear, that if the esrog is swollen or spoiled, then the esrog is possible. My love, doesn't the braisa mean tefuach mebichutz, that it's spoiled from the outside? Esruach means from mebifnim. So we see clearly that an esrog whose insides have been dissolved is possible. So we have, if that's the case that Rava discussed about an esrog atreifa, this is the case, and the braisa clearly teaches us that it's possible. Loi, says the Gemara, that's not what the Braisa was discussing. Because Idi v'Idi, both Tefuach and Seruach, are mibichutz. So why do we have two words that seemingly speak about the same thing? So loi kasha. Had the Tefach, afagav d'loi sarach. You could have an esrog swell up because there's moisture in it, even though it's not spoiled from the inside. For hard the sorach, and you can have a situation where the inside of the esrog is spoiled, avgav deloy tofach, even though it didn't get swollen. And that's why the Mishnah is speaking about two different situations, and there's no raya that has anything to do with what we've been speaking about esrog atarifa. But we did speak about an esrog that is a small esrog, esrog haboyser. So the Bircha Yosef in Siman Tov Resh Mem Chesef Katan Dalet discusses that what's the halach when you have a very small esrog that just has the shear. We know that the shear of an esrog is a beya, the size of an egg, and you here have an esrog that is exactly the size of a beya. And he says, typically, the esrog throughout Yontif starts to shrink. And the question is that if the esrog at this point has the proper shear, but we anticipate that it's going to shrink over Yontif, what is going to be the halacha of this esrog? So the Bikkur Yosef says that the Ramah in Or HaChaim Siman Tov Reish Chof Tes Sif Yud Beis discusses that if you put schach on your sukkah, that right now you have enough schach, but the schach is made out of a material that's going to dry up over Yontif. So even though now your sukkah is properly covered, the sukkah will not be considered a kosher sukkah. So the question is, do we compare schach to an esrog? Why? Because the sukkah, there's a mitzvah of sukkah that begins at the beginning of sukkahs and lasts for the duration of the entire yontif. But when we speak about an esrog, the esrog, every day there's a separate mitzvah. And since every day is a separate mitzvah, if today I have a proper schach, I have the schach, today I have an esrog which is the proper size, then the same thing, what's going to be tomorrow should have no bearing. However, the Shalos HaTshuvos Beis Shorim says that the Prima Godim says there's a different reason why schach that's going to dry off, shrivel up, is not kosher. Because if you're going to cover such your sukkah with such schach, maybe during Yontif it's going to shrivel up. Your sukkah will no longer be a kosher sukkah, but you won't be able to notice that that is the case. And because of that, says the Beis Shaar, says the Prima Gadim, we don't let you use the schach even at the beginning of Yontif, because we're concerned that you won't notice that it became disqualified. So says the Shaar Tshuvos, if that's the case, by Esrig, we also should have the same concern, that even though now the Esrig is kosher, but we have to be concerned that maybe this Esrig will draw, it's minimally kosher, has exactly the right shear. We need to be concerned that during Yontif it's going to dry up, it's going to dry up, not have the shear, and we're not going to notice. But the Chazon Ish says just the opposite. So according to Beis Shaarim, once the Esrig is on the border, or just minimally the right shear, we have to be concerned. But on the other hand, the Chazon Ish says just the opposite. He says, if your Esrig started off Yontif with the proper shear, even if during Yontif your Esrig shrunk and now it doesn't have the proper shear, your Esrig will remain a kosher Esrig. Because as long as you started with the proper shear, that's all that's required. Amamar. So we discussed the Esrig Kushi, the Esrig that comes from the country called Kush. The Halacha is Posel. For Tanya, but as the Gemara, the Brisa says that Kushi Kosher, that since the Esrogim that come from that place look like that, that's the way Esrogim grow in that area, the Esrig is Kosher. If it's Doimel Kushi, but if it's Esrig that's black, it's Posel. Answers the Gemara, Amar Bai, Ki Tanan Nami Masnisen, when our Mishnah spoke about Esrog Kushi, it didn't mean that it came from Kush. What it meant was, B'doimel Kushi Tanan, that it looks black. And therefore, since the Esrog looks black, it's disqualified. Rav Amar, the different way to reconcile the Brisa and the Mishnah. Lo Kasha, hold on. A Brisa, the Brisa that says that the Esrog is Kushi, was speaking to B'nai Bovel, who lived near the land of Kush. And since they lived near Kush, it was very common that a Sroigan from Kush came to where they lived, and therefore you'll have an Esrog Kushi. Halahon, the Mishnah, however, that says that it's not kosher, is talking about Etz Yisrael, which was quite distant from Kush, and therefore such a Sroigan weren't commonly used there, and if they're not commonly used there, you can't use such an Esrog. Esrig Abaisa, we just discussed a very small Esrig. Rabbi Kiva, Paisa V'acham Machshirim. Amar Rav, Rabbi Kiva, who says that the small Esrig is Pasul, Rav Shimon, and Rav Shimon, that we're going to learn his opinion in a moment, Amar Dava Echad, are of the same, their opinions really are the same. Rabbi Kiva Adamaran, that an Esrig Habayser is not considered a pre, and therefore cannot be used for an Esrig. Rav Shimon Mahi asked them, well, what is that? The Tanan says, the Gemara we learned in the Mishnah, Masech the Maestris, Perek Al of Mishnah Dalad, Rav Shimon Paites, Esrogim Bekaitan. If an Esrog is very small, and we know that fruit that grows in Eretz Yisrael, we have to take Trumas and Maestris, from an Esrog that's very small, it's not considered a pre, and therefore there's no Chiv of Trumas and Maestris. So again, we see that Rav Shimon holds that if it's very small, it's not considered a fruit from which we have to take Maestris. Says the Gemara, Amalei Abaya. So Abaya says to Rava, your comparison is not necessarily correct. Demalohi, the comparison is not correct. Because Atkan, Oikamarab Kiva Hocha, when by Esrig, where the Torah says pre-Eitz Hodor, the being in Hodor Veleka. So if you're a very small Esrig, it's not considered Hodor. Aval Hosom, but when it comes to speak about Maisus, Krabon and Sirle, maybe Rabbi Kiva will agree with Rabbi Shimon, that even a small Esrig is considered enough of a fruit for which we have to take Maisa from. Inami, or the other way, at Kalakam Rabbi Shimon Hossam, when it comes to Hechas Maisus, Rabbi Shimon holds that a small fruit, there's no Chiv Maisa, Ella the Ksiv, Asa to Asa is called Vuas Arecha. That's the pasuk that teaches the Halacha of Maisa. And we learn from that pasuk, Kederech Shebnei Adam Etzin Lezriya. It has to be large enough that there will be seeds that are in the fruit that are mature enough that if I plant those seeds, they will have the ability to grow fruit afterwards. Aval Hocha, when it comes to the Dalminim, it has nothing to do with the ability to grow other fruit. Krabbanan Tzvirulei, that maybe he agrees with Rabbanan, that even a very small esrig is still kosher for the mitzvah of Dalminim, and says the Gemara Sulamidi. There's no room for further discussion about do Reb Shimon and Reb Akiva hold the same or not. They certainly are not necessarily connected at all. We learned, Godla B'tfus, if you put the esrog into a mold, vasokim in beri acheres, and you formed into something that doesn't look like an esrog, it's possible. Kamens to Gemara, Amar Rava, loy shanal kimin beri acheres, only when it looks not like an esrog. But if you put it into a mold, aval kibriyosoy, and now it looks like a regular esrog, it's kosher. Says the Gemara Pshita. Isn't that obvious? The Mishnah says kimin beri acheres tanya. It has to look like a different beri. This is not something else. So if it's not something else, it's a kosher esrog. Why should there be any consideration? Answers the Gemara, like Tzricha, Rav is coming to teach us, David the Dapi Dapi, the way you put it into the mold, it looks like different layers. And since it looks like different layers with deep grooves between the different layers, so maybe that would not be considered a kosher esrog. Teaches us Rava that an esrog that has these deep grooves in it is considered a kosher esrog. Itmar, esrog shenekvu achbarim, esrog that was built, bitten by mice, and now you don't have a whole esrog. Amarav ain't a hadar, that's not considered a hadar, and it's possible. Aini says the Gemara for Rav Chanina matbebol v'nafikba. Rav Chanina would bite into his esrog. And how could he bite into his esrog? So the Mefarshim are very bothered with this story that the Gemara quotes of Chanina that he bit into the esrog. The Gemara teaches us in Mitzvah Shemon Daf Lamed Ches that on Sukkos you're not allowed to eat, you're not allowed to do any eating before you do the mitzvah of lulav. So how could Rav Chanina been able to eat the esrog before he did the mitzvah? Another question is that the esrog is hooked to the mitzvasai. And since the esrog is hooked to the mitzvasai, it can't be used for any other purpose. Another question, how could Rav Chanina, even if the Gemara is going to teach us that an esrog that's not complete maybe is kosher, even if it's not the first day of Yontif, but how could one suggest that that's the type of esrog that should be used? Where's the hidden mitzvah? So in answer to these questions, the Aruch Lener has a very interesting approach to this entire Gemara. He says that the case here was that Rav Chanina was unable to get all Dalaminim. And he owned only an Esrig, and he was not able to get the Lulav, the Dasim, and Aravis. We learned in previous Gemaras that the Dalaminim are all interdependent, and one cannot fulfill a mitzvah with only an Esrig. Rav Chanina did not anticipate that he's going to receive the other minim, and therefore he didn't think he would be able to perform the mitzvah, since he did not think that he would be able to perform the mitzvah. So at this point, the esrog was not considered huksel mitzvasai, and furthermore, he was allowed to eat it, even though because he didn't yet do the mitzvah dal minim. Because when is the halach that you're not allowed to eat before you do the mitzvah dalaminim? When you anticipate to do dalaminim. But when you don't anticipate to do the mitzvah dalaminim today, there's no obligation, it's yontif. You're not allowed to fast. What happened was, so he bit into the esrig. And then after biting into the esrig, the lulav hadasim and aravis appeared. And now, the esrig that he had, the question is, can he use that esrog for the mitzvah of dalaminim? Ask the Gemara, or Rav Chanina, but how could Rav Chanina have... So now that we've explained how we got to this stage, the question still remains. Kashi Masnisen, our Mishnah says that an esrog that's missing any part of it is possible. And how could Rav Chanina use such an esrog for the mitzvah? Answers the Gemara, Bishlam Masnisen, the question from the Mishnah can be resolved. Can be Yontif Rishon. The Torah says, "Vilkachta lechem b'yom Rishon," and the Yom Rishon is a din of lekicha tama. And as we've discussed previously, there's a machlokes rishonim. Yontif Rishon in Eretz Yisrael means the first day Yontif, but we in Chutz La'aretz keep 2 days Yontif. because we keep the Shant of Sheni Shel Golius. And there's a very big machlokes Rishonim that as we've been learning in our Shiurim, there's a difference in Hilchas Esrig between the first day Yontif and the rest of Yontif. And the question is, for those that live in Chutz Laretz, how do we treat Hilchas Esrig on Yontif Sheni? Do we treat them as Yontif? Do we treat Yontif Sheni, which is a Sveik of the Yom of Yontif Rishon, as the same? Or do we treat Yontif Sheni as not like the first day? Many Rishonim of the opinion that in Chutz Laretz, all the halachas that apply to Esrig on the first day Yontif apply in all the other days of Yontif as well. But the Rambam, Dali Rava, says that not necessarily. The Rambam seems to say that even the second day in Chutz Laretz doesn't have those day. Can be Yontif Sheni. El Rav, the Rav says that an Esrig that was bitten is not Hador, and an Esrig that's not Hador is disqualified for the entire Yontif. So how could this Esrig into which he took a bite be kosher? Says the Gemara, Amalach Ravi, Shani Achbri de Ma'isi. There it's talking about the Achbar bit into it. An Achbar that bit into the Esrig is not is terribly unappealing. But here, where he bit into the Esrig, there is something else. Ikadami Amarav, Zeh Hador, Dar Rav Chanina Matbab of Nafik Bey. That this Esrig in which somebody took a bite from is still considered Hador, the proof being that that's what we see that he did. Ask the Gemara, but how could Rav Chanina have done so? Or Rav Chanina Kashim Asnisin, that says if any part of the Esrig is missing, the Esrig is possible. Answers the Gemara, like Kasha, Kam Yontav Rishon, on the first day of Yontav, it's a mitzvah, where you have to take Lekicha Tama, and if the Esrig is missing, the Esrig is possible. Kam Yontav Sheni, where you don't have this problem. We learned in the Mishnah, Esrig Cotton, what is the smallest size Esrig? Ramei says the size of an egg, eyes of a walnut. Rabbi Yehuda said the size of a beya, an egg. Amra Papa, Machloikas Khan, the same Machloikas we have regarding the shear of an Esrig, Khan Machloikas Bavonim Rukulazos. The halacha is that even though stones are muksa typically on Shabbos, and even though normally you're not allowed to carry from a Carmelist to Rosh Hashayachid, because of Kavod Abrius, that one needs to clean himself when he uses the bathroom, on Shabbos they allowed us to carry Avodah Mekulazos under certain circumstances. The Tanya, as the Braisa teaches us, B'Shabbos, Shalosh Avodah Mekulazos. You could take these three stones. Mutal Achnas, Lebesa Kisei, you're allowed to carry them, not worried about Muksa, not worried about carrying from a Kamas or Shusha Yochid. The Kamashurim, what is the size of these stones? So again, we have the exact same Achlekes as we had in our Mishnah. Remeyim, the size of the stones are eggers, the size of a walnut. If it's larger, it's not usable for cleaning oneself. Yudaimer, the shear is kebeya. The exact same achlaikus. Ubegodl, when we speak about a large esrig, kadesh yachiz, it's large enough that two that can be carried in one hand. That's the shear of Yehuda. Yudaimer, even if your esrig is so large that you need two hands to carry it. Tanya, says the one we learned in the Brayso, Amar Rabbi Yosi, Maisa b'Rabbi Kiva, Shabbat l'beis haKnesses. Rabbi Kiva once came to shul, and it was Esrig al-Seifa, and he was carrying such a large Esrig that he had to carry it to shul on his shoulders. So we see that a very large Esrig is still kosher. Amar Rabbi Yehuda, so Rabbi Yehuda says, Misham Raya, you think that that's a raya, that even a very large esrig may be used? Afheim Amrloi, actually the Chacham said to Rabbi Kiva, ain zahadar. An esrig which is so large is not hadar and cannot be used. The halach, however, is clearly that even Rabbi Kiva, who holds that you could use a very big esrig, the halach is that, and he needed to carry it on his shoulders in order to bring it to shul, it's only kosher if when you carry it to shul, you carry it that way. But when you're holding the esrig to do the nanuim, which we're going to speak about later in our perek, of course you have to hold it in your hand. So the reason Rabbi Yehuda says that such a large esrig is possible is because it's not hodr. That's how some Rishonim explain. Other Rishonim, Rashi says that the issue is not an issue of Hadar. We're going to learn in Mitzvah Shem that the way the Mitzvah of Dal Minim is performed is that the Lulav is in your right hand and the Esrig is in your left hand. And we're going to even learn in Mitzvah Shem in our coming Shir that there are Rishonim that are of the opinion that if you switch and you have the Esrig in your left hand, in your right hand, and the lulav in your right hand, you weren't mekayim the mitzvah, and you have to do it all over. So Rabbi Yehuda was concerned that if somebody's going to have such a large esrig, it's likely or possible that he's going to make this switch. And therefore, Rabbi Yehuda said, you should never, that's why Rabbi Yehuda says, the Chacham told Rabbi Kiva, a very large esrig is the esrig that should not be used on Sukkos.